B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We're just getting things going. Some visitors in the tent saying what's up. We're gonna break Toby of this. There's cold drinks in those coolers if you're hot. Getting things going. We're waiting to hear from both Emmanuel Forbes and Tyler Biadasz. We're going to bring those streams to you as soon as we can. I think, Landini, we might want to just... Is B. Mitch calling in? Have we heard from him yet? Okay. Well, luckily we have a radio professional like my guy Toby Altizer who's gonna man the ship right now, and we're going to get you those streams as soon as possible. Tobo?
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear from Tyler Biadasz. Like, if you're thinking about a guy that... When you think about the top guys that they signed this offseason, like, I think Bobby Wagner might be the most impactful just because of what he can provide off the field. Like, when you think about what Bobby Wagner can do on the field, it's obviously impressive. He's a Hall of Famer. He's someone that's going to help out this defense. But you've heard it from people on the offensive side of the ball. You've heard it from people on the defensive side of the ball. Like, you think about what Frankie Louvu, he was talking with Craig Hoffman the other day, working with him, and he was talking about the impact that he's had on him and his ability to know whether it's a run or a pass and essentially give him a little bit of a head start. I think that's your most impactful signing. And then, you know, he's talking with Jaden and they're working through, like, what they're seeing and what he's able to do because of this alignment and what he knows. That's important for Jaden. And so I think Bobby Wagner is probably their most impactful signing. But if I had to choose my favorite signing, just in terms of how much he's going to help Jaden protect him, it's got to be Tyler Biadasz. I mean, you think back to last year and what this offense had to deal with on that offensive line, and it wasn't very good, and we can argue about whether it was Howell, we can argue about whether it's the O-line, whether it's Bieniemy, whatever. They all had a hand in it. But I think when you're able to bring in a veteran center to help out a rookie quarterback who, you know, by all accounts, when you hear these guys talk about Jaden, he doesn't even conduct himself like a rookie. He's someone that is acting more like a veteran. The way that he's able to go through his reads, the way that he's able to make checks at the O-line, I think that was something that was impressive that Dan Quinn was talking about the other day about Jaden, was saying that not only is he good at making the reads and the throws and all the stuff that comes after the play, but he's playing the quarterback position where he's checking to different things and he's making the right reads and he's making the right protections and just the little bits and pieces of it. Matter of fact, going back to last week, Bobby Wagner and him were talking and Jaden was saying that, you know, he'd made a check, and if I recall, it was sometime during like a red zone period and Jaden went with a dummy count. They weren't able to draw anybody and he made a check at the line. And all of a sudden, he hands off to Eckler, right up the middle for like a 20-yard would-be touchdown. Like, that is seeing what Jaden has been able to grow with. And having a veteran center to help him out in that role as well, someone that's going to be able to handle the protections, not have to throw too much on Jaden's plate, I think that's probably one of my favorite signings, if not my favorite signing of the offseason, just because of what he's been able to do. He's got a good pedigree going to Wisconsin, obviously plenty of time in Dallas and been playing all these years, and the durability that comes with Tyler Biadasz. I think what he's going to be able to help this team do is going to be really big for Jaden's development, and that's really what this season's about, right? Like, it's about how Jaden can develop. And, you know, we can talk about expectations for the season and what do you want to see out of these guys. I think the reality is the record can be what the record is, whether it's a good record and they make the playoffs or a bad record and they're picking inside the top 10, maybe top 5 again. The real question is, how does Jaden develop? Does he prove that he's a guy? And a big part of that is going to be, what do the weapons look like and how can the O-line protect him? I know Danny's been talking a lot on G&D about not having the receivers that you would like or the weapons. I'm personally fine with the weapons that they have. I think they can get the job done. But I think the question is the offensive line. And, you know, it looks like Cosmi is going to be their standout guy. He's been even better than he was last year. And so we talked earlier about potentially paying him. I think that you're going to end up having to pay him and keep him around, because not only has he been a solid offensive lineman, he's been a really good offensive lineman, and it's something that this team just doesn't have right now. You bring in Biadasz, like I talked about, and he's a veteran center. He's going to be able to help out Jaden a lot. I like that. The rest are question marks. Now, thankfully, it seems like we're getting some answers to those questions, but again, it's still early in training camp here, and we haven't even got to the first preseason game or joint practices. So I'm interested to see how Coleman continues to do. Is he able to prove that he can be the left tackle? I'm not even worried about the future at this point, honestly. But can he just be the left tackle this year? And I think the big part about this is, can Coleman just prove himself to be serviceable? Because that's my one gripe that I've had about the team and what they did this offseason. I think overall they've done a really good job rebuilding this thing, and I understand that you can't do everything in one offseason. You can't expect them to do everything in one offseason. But if there was one thing that I wish they could have done maybe a little bit better job of, it's protecting Jaden Daniels, and I don't know if they did the best job at that, but you're starting to see, like, maybe Coleman is going to be that guy, and if that's the case, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, and what they were able to do, I think what ultimately happened was they wanted to trade back into the first round. I think they wanted to take one of those top tackles that we'd heard all about going into the draft process, and they just weren't able to get back into the first round, and after that, they identified Brandon Coleman, and it's a credit to them because they identified this guy. They could have taken him earlier and reached and said, maybe we're going to take him just to make sure we get him, but instead, you end up with some solid guys in the second round and a Johnny Newton and a Mike Sanders still, and you end up with Coleman there in the third round. So I'm impressed by what they were able to do, and Coleman, he's been really impressive so far out here at camp. He's been able to hold his own, what he's been able to do against the guys, and like we talked about earlier, the thing that I'm interested in seeing is him against the Jets guys out at training camp, him against the Dolphins guys out at their practices, the joint practices with the Jets and the Dolphins. How does he look? Because, you know, against Dorrance Armstrong, Dorrance is a really good player. I wouldn't say by any means is he like a typical number one type edge rusher you'd see in the NFL. You know, Cleveland Farrell, I know he's a first-round pick, but we've kind of seen at this point that he's a solid veteran. He's maybe not the kind of guy that is your typical number one, number two type edge rusher. Same thing with Dante Fowler. And he's held his own against those guys, so that's to his credit. You know, even a guy like a Frankie Louvu, he's not a traditional edge rusher. He's held his own against him. How does he look when he's going against some of these guys that are the true number one type guys? How does he look when he's going against a Jermaine Johnson, who was a first-round pick just a couple of years ago, a Will McDonald, some of these different guys? I'm intrigued by that because if he can end up being someone that's a solid left tackle or even a right tackle, frankly, just a solid tackle that can play for this team, you know, this draft class is going to be remembered as Jaden's draft class, and if Jaden hits, then it's a good draft class, basically, regardless of what else happens. But if you look and he's able to have Brandon Coleman turn into a guy that can contribute for this football team, and you got Mikey Sanders still looking like he can be a solid to even really, really good nickel corner, and probably pretty quickly with him, and we'll see with some of these other guys. But if you can have your quarterback and left tackle or quarterback and right tackle found in the same draft and not both first round picks, you got to feel really good about that because tackles just don't become available. Tackles like a really good guy that you're going to pay the top dollar on the free agent market just don't become available. You know, and Trent Williams and some of these guys that if you're going to acquire them, Trent Williams is kind of the outlier here because of the situation here in Washington, you're going to have to pay a bunch, and not just in money, but in draft picks if you want to trade for a guy. So these guys just do not become available. You know, you look at the Texans, and you look at the rough spot that they went through for a while. Who's the one dude that they didn't move on from and they kept paying? Laremy Tunsil. Because they wanted to keep that left tackle in place in case they found a guy. Seems like they found a guy in C.J. Stroud. And so for Washington, you've needed to find this guy. I think Leno was solid. I think at times he was overhated on. I thought he was okay. I didn't think he was spectacular by any means, but I also didn't think he was as bad as a lot of people made him out to be. But if you can find a guy now where you're paying him third-round rookie money for Brandon Coleman and get that type of production and hopefully even a little bit better, you've got to feel really good about that. So I think the question marks across the O-line are big time. Let's get out to the BetQL guest hotline and bring in our guy on a big old bike ride on a hot, hot day, Brian Mitchell. B. Mitch, what's going on?
What's up, bro? How y'all doing?
Can't complain. It's hot out here. What's it like on this bike ride? Is it as hot out there as it is out here?
It's not hot when you're riding. We're at 72 miles now. We're in Bridgeville, Delaware. We got about 36 miles left. But we're going to knock it out, get to the beach, and get some beers and some orange crush.
How's the first, what'd you say, 72 miles been? Has it been pretty smooth sailing so far?
It's been good. You know, like Jeff said, we still smiling. He thought we shouldn't be smiling at the 50. We're still smiling at the 72, so... It's been fun, man. So we've been having a quicker pace than we thought, but the transition from getting to the Naval Academy and then getting in the cars and going across the bridge, it took a little longer than we thought. But actual riding time, we've been riding for like 4 hours and stuff, 4 hours and about 15, 20 minutes. So at 72 miles, I think that's a good pace.
What's your official ETA? What are you thinking, looking like the finish time so you can enjoy yourself a few brewskis?
Two more hours of riding, and then we'll be in Delaware ready to chill.
That's crazy, man. I mean, I respect what you're doing, B-Mitch. That's awesome. I got a question, though. Like, what are you doing during a ride? You talking to the guys? You listening to music? Listening to the podcast? Like, what do you do during the ride?
Well, we do a lot of talking to each other. You know, we take turns leading so we can cut the wind getting into a peloton. And also, we're very competitive, so if we see somebody off in the distance, we make sure we go catch them. So we kind of play Pac-Man, real-life Pac-Man. We see people, we chew them up.
yeah, stay safe out there. It's incredible what you're able to do. I mean, I don't know. How do you cut past the, like, my legs are tired? I can't get past that, B-Mitch. I know we talk all the time about how crazy competitive and all that. I can't get past that, though.
Get past what?
When your legs are tired and everything, you just want to kind of call it quits for the day.
You gotta be able to shift the gears. And I think the whole thing about it, if you learn how to shift the gears properly, your legs don't get as tired or as worn out. So, you know, you shouldn't be in a high gear or a low gear too often. You got to make sure you use it wisely. And that's why we kind of take turns in the front, because the guy in the front takes the brunt of the wind, and the other guys get a little easier trash. So if we do it like that, we make it make the whole ride for everybody more efficient.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what this ride is about, though, B-Mitch. I know it's not just a fun ride. You're doing
raising money for autism awareness, and it's called Bike to the Beach. They've been doing it for a long time. Last year, I didn't do this actual ride, but I did a bike to the brewery to get people interested in it, and we rode from Georgetown out to Olaf's Brewery and back, and then this year I got involved with it, and, you know, to raise money for those out there that really need it. I think the whole thing is to bring awareness to it, make people understand, and make it easier for them. If we can, you know, make people's lives easier, and maybe just find some type of way to make sure they have an easier life than they do sometimes, that's what we're trying to do, just bring awareness to it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You said this is what, like 101 miles? What's the furthest bike ride you've done?
109, so, you know, a little 109 miles of your day, 6-7 miles on the bike for a great cause. I mean, it's no problem whatsoever.
What's the furthest you've done?
The furthest I've done was 110. So today I did 109. Knowing Daryl, we'll probably ride another mile so we can hit 110 again.
Now, the question is, B-Mitch, what do we got to do to get Jeff on one of these rides?
JP?
JP too. JP too. I'm down with that, but I want to see Jeff on a bike as well.
Oh, you say get Jeff on a bike? He got a motorcycle. That's the only way he's going to do 100 and something miles.
You know it. I'll make it there quicker than you.
You might get there quicker than me, but are you going to have a better feeling in your heart than I do to what I just did?
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
If I'm riding for charity.
But it depends on what's at the end of the ride.
You need to use some of you, not a damn motor.
What do you mean? I'm using my wrist. I'm using my processing. My clutch.
I need you on this bike because you just the stuff you've been doing. Look,
B.
Tell people you gonna do that conditioning test.
I do like a 30-mile ride first, but I'm not just jumping out there on 100.
I mean we can do a 30-mile ride.
I was about to say, because I'll be walking the bike by mile 30 if you talk about 100.
that's just
honesty.
I think 30 is a little high for that, Jeff. I'd say mile 10.
We're going to get back on the road, man. Get some more pickle juice in there, ready to ride.
That sounds good, B-Mitch. Stay safe, man, and have a good weekend.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Talk to y'all Monday. Peace.
That's B-Mitch on his ride. Jeff, I mean,
Hold on, Toby. Did you say I can only ride 10 miles?
That's what I said. I mean, I'm the same way, Jeff.
I'll do at least 11 just because you gave me 10.
Dude, if you told me I had to go ride anything over 5 miles, I'm probably dead. I can't be doing all this, especially in this heat out here. I don't know how B-Mitch does it. I don't know how he does it.
He's insane. Insane.
It takes a little bit of insanity to take down a 109-mile bike ride. Like, that's something that I don't even know if I want to go driving for 109 miles, much less hop on a bike in this sort of weather. And, Jeff, he's starting at 4:30.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the craziest part, 4:30 in the morning.
Because you really have to wake up out of bed and then get your body and your mind mentally prepared to ride a bike.
Yeah, that's just unhinged.
I hate getting mentally prepared to drive my car through 295.
I mean, I got to be honest. Whenever I'm working with you guys, I'm like 10 a.m., man.
Oh, 10 a.m. is easy, though.
I know I'm a late riser, but 10 a.m., even like trying to get myself going for 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. or something like that, much less 4:30. I think once you get earlier than like 6 a.m., that's that ungodly territory that I don't want to mess with. Like, if we're talking, like, to me, the next day doesn't start until at least 4, so at least he's starting the next day. But holy cow, 4:30? I don't understand how you're up and functioning, much less deciding that you're going to go on a long bike ride. And I mean, credit to B. Mitch, right? I mean, I could not be doing it. It's awesome that he's doing it for charity, and I don't even know how you just decide that you're going to ride that long. Like, it's one thing to go on a bike ride and maybe set, like, I'm going to go on this sort of trek, but when I look at the map and I'm having to zoom out on the maps to see, like, across states, I don't know, man. That's a little bit too far for me. All right, let's take a break here on B. Mitch and Finley. When we come back, we're still waiting on hearing from Tyler Biotish, also Emmanuel Forbes, out here at Commanders Training Camp. It's B. Mitch and Finley right here on 106.7 The Fan. Keep it tuned right here.
Right now, this is a banger right here. Everybody driving on the beltways, banging their dashboard. It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday, powered by Scotty's Handcrafted Vodka. Scotty's Vodka is Maryland-made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. Me and Toby Altizer are holding it down in Ashburn at Commander's Training Camp. B. Mitch is somewhere in the Delmarva Peninsula, driving through, like, I mean, it's nothing but cornfields and, like, roadside stands selling tomatoes and corn. Joining us right now is our friend Donna Hopkins. Donna, I don't want to put you on the spot because I know you'll yell at me. How long have you covered this team? What was, like, your first season covered? Here, you know what? I figured out the right way to ask it. Did you ever cover a Super Bowl team out here?
Twice.
Wow!
But you know, I'm okay with you asking me when did I start. Let me just say I started when they were winning.
Yeah.
Under the Joe Gibbs era. So, I mean, I've seen it all from the winning to the triple-ups to now when they're trying to get it right again this year. So, I'll leave it at that.
That's fair. I've gotten to know Donna fairly well over the years here. I've been on her shows, and you do so many different, like, media outlets. It's hard to keep track of everyone. But when is the show? When does it air? How do folks watch it?
Yeah, Tony McGee's Pro Football Plus. It comes on Mid-Atlantic.
You spell Madison, right?
Yeah, it still is. Mid-Atlantic Sports Net.
Okay.
Wednesdays and Fridays, 10:30, Sunday at kickoff. And then, you know, it's ran from various other times. And then we do our podcast In the Minute, where I'm trying to get all the guys straight. You know, Gary and Tony and myself are the mainstays.
Sure.
So yeah, it's been fun with those guys.
It's fun watching, like, B. Mitch and Donna interact, because B. Mitch is such a pain in the ass, and when Donna's around, he kind of flies straight. You have a very – I mean, hell, I don't even want to curse. Heck, even me, Donna, I try to keep my P's and Q's around when we're next to each other. Donna and I have been on flights together and in a million random cities and a million random press boxes, so I'm glad you were able to join us today.
Yeah, it's always fun. And, you know, Brian Mitchell and I go way back as far as covering him. And, you know, I'm going to share this with you all. When I first started this, Brian Mitchell, you know, I'm new out of college and everything, and, you know, I'm thinking, like, I can't go in that locker room. I got to work around trying to do this. And Brian Mitchell said, one thing about you, Don, when you come in there, your head is up, you're straight for the interviews. And I said, because I don't like to be in the locker room. So Brian has been a good guy, you know, been kind of like family from when I covered him up until now. So, you know, we got that bond. So maybe that's the reason why he behaves himself around me.
Maybe. You never know. So let's talk about what you're seeing out here. Who stood out to you? What do you think? I mean, it's all new quarterback, new coaching staff, rebuilt roster. What stands out to you so far?
Yeah, the first week I paid attention to the defensive side of the ball. you know, secondary, because I thought that was an area that they need to address what it's going to look like back there. Emmanuel Forbes, is he going to step forward in his second year? How are they going to utilize St. Juice and Forrest and all of those guys back there? Michael Sandrew Steele, he's a guy that really stood out for me in that secondary right now, and Quan Martin. These guys, you could see the development. You could see that from the classroom to the field, it's really being seen. The other guys, I think
Sammer still has alpha vibes.
Oh, my gosh.
He really does.
He's so much fun. I got a chance to talk to him today just about, you know, the process of developing his game. And he said that he's really studied the playbook a lot. And that's the reason why I think he's picked it up to be able to go from the playbook to the field. And I think he's not putting any pressure on himself. He said that even off the field, as far as what he's doing off the field, has helped him, you know, outside of football, has helped him with the football end of it, not putting so much pressure on himself. And then Quan Martin, I mean, back at safety, a position that he probably should have been playing last year.
Sure.
And it's come natural to him because he told me, hey, I played both of those positions already, so it's nothing new to me. But people can say that, but when you're able to put it on the field and you see the results from that, and when Dan Quinn says special with his name, then you already know that, man, this guy's going to be somebody to watch. So I still think that they you know, the secondary is an area. I can't say much about the linebacker crew because with Chin and Frankie back there, man, and even Wagner, you can tell the difference in that play. But I'm enjoying the drills and everything on the defensive side, defensive line and that group right there. So I think that everybody said, oh, you know, how the defense is going to be. And everybody said, you know, it's going to be great and whatever. And I hate to be too high and say, oh, yeah, but you do see a difference as far as the energy from this team this year.
Yeah, and how much of that energy is from DQ and what Joe Witt Jr. is doing? And how different does it look, not even just defensively, but all throughout practice? How different have things looked?
Yeah, everybody is telling me it's because of this coaching staff and what they've got them doing. And this is the thing that I like about the coaching staff is they're not trying to throw everything at the players all at one time, because that could be overwhelming. It's almost like, let's get down the first part, and then we go to the next part. And that's what the players are telling me, is just the process of their learning and how they're teaching them to be able to take what they're learning in the classroom to the field and not be overwhelmed. Because even Benjamin St. Juice was saying that coaches was telling him, let's get these two things and move on to the next thing. And they're not overwhelmed by so many things at one time. And it's and a lot of the players, like Quan Martin told me, he said, I'm teachable. I mean, how many times have you heard players say that? I'm teachable. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of the players, is that we're teachable and we're taking it all in. And it comes down to the coaching staff. I mean, you got to give it to them.
Yeah.
It's the coaches.
Well, you got to think from a secondary standpoint, too. These are the – you never know, because a lot of it comes down to players, and they had Trayvon Diggs, and then Deron Bland emerges. But, like, these guys' track record with – coaching against the pass is really, really high level. And if we know that, the players are aware of that too. And I do think we're seeing a big difference in the teaching. I cannot wait to go up to New Jersey next week. And I know you'll be there. And for everybody that's excited about the game, terrific. I can't wait to watch practice, because Rodgers ain't going to play in that preseason game. But Rodgers is going to practice against them. And Aaron Rodgers has a 20-year history of picking people apart, and I want to see if some of these gains we think we're seeing are real.
Yeah, JP. Now, you know what? I'm going to be covering the Olympics over in the Olympics, so you're going to have to tell me.
You're going
what,
to Paris?
Yeah, I'm going to Paris
Martin
for the Olympics.
Martin Madonna, dude.
Yeah, you know, I got to hit that. That comes only once in the blue moon, but you're going to have to fill me in what happens with the Jets. But that is such a key moment for this team, because we've seen them for the last 2 weeks. And
Donna just big-timed the heck out of them. Like, yeah, I can't make it to Jersey. I'm going to be in Paris. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, somebody got to go. And why not me? So yeah, you know, I'm loving going to track and field, so I'm going to be at track and field in the women's gold medal basketball game. But
I bet the U.S. will win that.
Hey, that's
I'm going to play a hunch.
Hey, that's the reason why I'm going. I said, well, I know that I'm going to have my red, white, and blue on for that game. And you can bet you know who I'm going to be rooting for during that stretch over there. But, JP, it's so next week is so pivotal for this team going up against the Jets in the inner scrimmage and then also the preseason game, because they're going to be able to tell really where they are. We see them out here go against each other, and they kind of like know what they're going to do. Jayden Daniels, he's going to be able, they're going to throw things at him that maybe he hasn't seen from this defense. And it's a pretty good defense to go up against here, but what he's going to see is going to help him to be more ready. Also on the defensive side, you know, it's going to help them also with their process and everything.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned, Jayden, the Jets had one of the best defenses in the league last year. What are you looking for to hear? Do you think he's going to play in the preseason game one? And then what are you looking for, you know, hoping to hear from the practice up there? And what have you just thought of Jayden overall?
Yeah, I think that it's important. Everybody wants to rest the quarterback. You know, they want him to set out because of injuries and everything. But you can't be safe because this is his first year. He's got to be able to see a whole bunch quickly in his development. And I think that he should play every preseason game, even if it's just for a quarter or two, because he needs to be able to see things to figure it out. You know, when he's seeing things in the red zone, and you know it gets tight there, and you've got to be able to navigate through your first progression to your second and then your third. So it's so key for him to go up. And like you said, the Jets had one of the best defensive teams. So it'll be a good measure for him to be able to see him. And also the offensive line, you know, that's the area, the big test for the offensive line, because I think that that's an area that we want to see accelerated. What do they have there? Have they gotten better there? Looking at some of the guys that they inserted in various different positions, because what the coaches are going to probably look at is some of those guys that they're trying to play at multiple positions, where do they best fit? And I think they're going to be able to find out a lot about that on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, when they go against the Jets.
Shout out to PR Sam. She just hooked it up with donuts. Now, you'll miss this because you'll be in Paris, as you pointed out to us, Donna. Our guy Pat Leonard covers the Giants for the New York Daily News. Now, forgive me, Donna, for the language I'm about to use. I'm quoting Pat here. Giants center Austin Schlottman had to come off the field because he was puking. Don't blame him. I would be today, too. It's so damn hot.
Oh, let me tell you, it's been smoking hot the last 2 days. I think I lost probably about 10 pounds of water.
It is hot.
Because it's almost like when I was pulling up the hill to run to get cameras and everything, I was huffing, and I think I'm pretty good in shape. You know, I ride my bike like Brian
Mitchell.
You're
always exercising.
Not
right.
Like crazy Brian Mitchell out there with 100 miles and so forth.
But normal. Like,
but
like
normal people. Yeah. 25, 35 at max. But
you're,
you know,
you're also an Olympic athlete. I mean, you've done a lot of things in your life.
Yeah, and I try to stay fit. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, so I got to keep up with the young bucks.
My current fitness regimen is don't do anything, stand out in the sun as long as possible, and just don't eat. Is that a good plan?
You don't have to come to my gym. People hate to work out with me. They said, man, everybody can't be Michael Jordan and Magic Johnsons. They said, you got to come down a little bit and work us up from the beginning instead of making us try to be at high. I said, well, if you come work out with me, I don't play.
Well, I'll tell you, rude.
What's killing me is camps. Like when my daughters are in school, we have a routine. I drop them off. I get to the gym before the radio show starts. Like I have a routine. Summertime, there is no routine, and I'm just eating donuts and granola bars. Like, everything's out the window.
I want you all to know that I passed up the donuts, but they did not pass up the donuts. I was like, no, I got to stay true to my fitness habits. But, I'm, you know, my workouts have been off, too, because we're out here. By the time you get home, you don't feel like working out with this heat, but walking up and down these hills and the sidelines is exercise enough.
Thank you for joining us. I enjoyed it.
Always fun.
When do you leave for Paris?
On Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have to come back and show y'all all the fun things. And as I say, go USA.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Donna. Find all Donna's stuff on Instagram at Donna J. Hopkins. She has her own website because, of course, she does. DonnaJHopkins.com. We'll be right back. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock. Animal print pants. I don't have any of those. Girl, look at that body. You love it because it's Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We're live out of training camp. What happened to you, Toby?
Messing up. We're all good.
I don't know what the hell Toby's doing. Training camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. Paul Henry is my dude. Are you not hearing? Can you hear me?
I'm not
me?
Hearing. We'll make it work.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you outside of the headphones.
Okay. All right. We'll make it work. I think that I told them I needed a new headset. You know what I got? Not a new headset. I have shocking news for you, Landfill. Let's see if the delay is not too bad. You got me, Landini? Can you hear me? Are we talking back and forth to each other well?
I can hear you.
Okay. If you had to guess what kind of sunglasses Toby Altizer wears, I'll give you three guesses. This blew my mind.
Wayfarers.
No.
Aviators.
No.
John Lennon sunglasses.
Toby Altizer is wearing Prada sunglasses.
Why did you say brand? I would have actually guessed brands.
I just said sunglasses. I didn't mean it a specific direction. But would you have pegged Toby as wearing Prada shades?
I mean, my guesses were going to be Oakley and Armani.
Oakley would have been a good guess. I would have guessed like Under Armour. Not only that, but you have a number of things in here, Toby.
Well, I got my glasses and my contacts.
You got glasses, sunglasses, and contacts. You're covered for all of the optic challenges in life.
Just in case.
But yet, are you wearing any of them right now?
Contacts.
Oh, you have contacts.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably need contacts because I'm fairly blind. Here's what I'm thinking coming up at noon. We're going to talk about kind of the standout players from camp. And if we Cody Betts blew us off today, but we might play our own version of real or fake with what we've seen so far through camp. At 12:30, we're going to talk to Trisha Whitaker from Apple TV about just catching up on some baseball stuff. But right now, I did want to get a little baseball coverage on The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. You switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. You know what's crazy is I listened to Grant and maybe even Cakes do that read, and they were able to say T-Mobile.com/switch so effortlessly, and it's a real mouthful for me. I really can't do it. Brewers come to town.
Yeah.
Brewers are good. Nats are bad. How do they turn it around?
I don't know that they do, JP.
Great.
I think this is just going to be what you're going to see in the second half. I mean, this is a team that traded away so many of their bullpen pieces, and they've got young guys up and down the roster. Hopefully they can play some better baseball than losing 17-0 in Arizona. But, I mean, it's going to be a rough slog down here down the stretch. Now, if you want something to watch, Commanders-related, Bryce Terang, second baseman, one of the better second basemen
in
the league.
Yeah, buddy.
Brother-in-law of Tress Way. So we'll see how he's able to do. I don't think Tress is going to be able to make it out there. I don't think Bryce will make it out here for training camp either. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully they can get things turned around a little bit and play some better baseball. But I think this is just going to be what we're going to have to watch the last couple months of the season, where it just some of the nights are going to be a little bit rough.
I would think Tress might be able to get over there tomorrow. It's an off day tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe.
But they might have bed check anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, to your point, you talked about this the other day, and I think thought it was an astute point. Like, Davey, for whatever reason, is able to motivate clubhouses when you think they're not able to. Like, I mean, they came back from 19-31 and won a World Series. So
yeah.
He's able to get guys going, and this is a clubhouse that basically anyone that's covering the team or around them right now is like, yeah, it's probably kind of mail it in the rest of the year. Those are the kind of clubhouses that Davey somehow gets the most out of. And so maybe they'll have a nice little stretch here at some point in August or September. And I think, you know, the big thing to watch is just how does James Wood continue to do? What is he able to do? And then after that, I think it's watching the other young guys on the team and when does Dylan Cruz get the call up? Because I think those are the main things to watch. And then this young pitching staff, like, can they finish strong? Mackenzie Gore has really struggled lately at a solid outing.
How worried are we that Gore has really kind of taken a step back?
I mean, I feel like you got to be at least decently concerned. Like, I don't know that it's like panic mode, but you're getting closer because this is a guy that you have to have him be a number two type starter, because that's what's really lacking in the organization right now. Like, they've got a bunch of guys in that 3 to 5 range. They don't necessarily have an ace or a really a number two type guy. Gore was supposed to be that dude, and with how the team's been run recently without spending cash, like, those guys cost a lot of money if you want to get one. So yeah, hopefully he can develop and get things going. It's just, I don't know. I mean, the stuff is there, but at some point it's no longer about having the stuff and having the goods. You got to go out there and produce.
One of the things I liked, and a lot of people mocked it, and I get it, it was like an easy internet thing to mock, but how they had those signs during spring training, like, nobody cares how fast you throw ball four.
Yeah.
Like, they just need to throw strikes, dude. And early in the year when things were going well, even like Trevor Williams, who was not a career, like, pound the zone guy, was pounding the zone. And then Mitchell Parker comes up and throws strikes. And sometimes I feel like these guys get too caught up in their stuff that they forget just to pound the zone and get these guys to swing.
Yeah, and he's...
like, it's so hard to get a hit, dude. It's just throw strikes.
Well, and he's funny because, like, I can think of a couple of his last six starts or so where there was one where he spotted a 9-0 lead against the Cardinals and he was doing okay, and then all of a sudden he gets stuck in an inning. And a lot of it's, you know, due to walking guys. And you had one where he was cruising, I think, against the Mets through three innings and he was fine. And then the fourth inning, he just fell apart. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's doing in between innings. I don't know what goes on, but... yeah, I mean, you're 100% on. Like, you can mock the stupidity of, and I think it's analytics people that are so big into, oh, nobody cares how fast you throw a ball for. But he's basically saying throw strikes, like you were saying. And I don't know how all of a sudden we've got to a point where some people on the analytics side look at throwing strikes as a bad piece of advice. But yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of those guys, it does come down to that.
I agree with you, sir. Here's what we're gonna do. Might be our first ever version of Training Camp Real or Fake when we return. Nobody go anywhere. Animal print pants. I don't have any of those. Girl, look at that body. You love it because it's Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We're live out at Training Camp. What happened to you, Toby?
Messing up. We're all good.
I don't know what the hell Toby's doing. Training Camp coverage on the Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. Paul Henry is my dude. Are you not hearing? What do you? Can you hear me?
I'm not
me?
Hearing. We'll make it work.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you outside of the headphones.
Okay. All right. We'll make it work. I think that I told them I needed a new headset. You know what I got? Not a new headset. I have shocking news for you, Landfill. Let's see if the delay is not too bad. You got me, Landini? Can you hear me? Are we talking back and forth to each other well?
I can hear you.
Okay, if you had to guess what kind of sunglasses Toby Altizer wears, I'll give you three guesses. This blew my mind.
Wayfarers.
No.
Aviators.
No.
John Lennon sunglasses.
Toby Altizer is wearing Prada sunglasses.
Oh, why did you say brand? I would have actually guessed brands.
I just said sunglasses. I didn't mean it a specific direction. But would you have pegged Toby as wearing Prada shades?
I mean, my guess is we're going to be Oakley and Armani.
Oakley would have been a good guess. I would have guessed, like, Under Armour. Not only that, but you have a number of things in here, Toby.
Well, I got my glasses and my contacts.
You got glasses, sunglasses, and contacts. You're covered for all of the optic challenges in life.
Just in case.
But yet... are you wearing any of them right now?
Contacts.
Oh, you have contacts.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably need contacts because I'm fairly blind. Here's what I'm thinking coming up at noon. We're going to talk about kind of the standout players from camp. And if we Cody Betts blew us off today, but we might play our own version of real or fake with what we've seen so far through camp. At 12:30, we're going to talk to Trisha Whitaker from Apple TV about just catching up on some baseball stuff. But right now, I did want to get a little baseball coverage on the Fan, presented by T-Mobile. You switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. You know what's crazy is I listened to Grant and maybe even Cakes do that read, and they were able to say T-Mobile.com/switch so effortlessly, and it's a real mouthful for me. Yeah. I really can't do it. Brewers come to town.
Yeah.
Brewers are good. Nats are bad. How do they turn it around?
I don't know that they do, JP.
Great.
I think this is just going to be what you're going to see in the second half. I mean, this is a team that traded away so many of their bullpen pieces, and they've got young guys up and down the roster. Hopefully they can play some better baseball than losing 17-0 in Arizona. But, I mean, it's going to be a rough slog down here down the stretch. Now, if you want something to watch, Commanders-related, Bryce Terang, second baseman, one of the better second basemen
in
the league.
Yeah, buddy.
Brother-in-law, Tress Way. So we'll see how he's able to do. I don't think Tress is going to be able to make it out there. I don't think Bryce will make it out here for training camp either. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully they can get things turned around a little bit and play some better baseball. But I think this is just going to be what we're going to have to watch the last couple months of the season, where it just some of the nights are going to be a little bit rough.
I would think Tress might be able to get over there tomorrow. It's an off day tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe.
But they might have bed check anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, to your point, you talked about this the other day, and I think thought it was an astute point. Like, Davey, for whatever reason, is able to motivate clubhouses when you think they're not able to. Like, I mean, they came back from 19-31 and won a World Series. So
yeah.
He's able to get guys going, and this is a clubhouse that basically anyone that's covering the team or around them right now is like, yeah, it's probably kind of mail it in the rest of the year. Those are the kind of clubhouses that Davey somehow gets the most out of. And so maybe they'll have a nice little stretch here at some point in August or September. And I think, you know, the big thing to watch is just how does James Wood continue to do? What is he able to do? And then after that, I think it's watching the other young guys on the team and when does Dylan Crews get the call up? Because I think those are the main things to watch. And then this young pitching staff, like, can they finish strong? Mackenzie Gore has really struggled lately at a solid
outing.
How
worried are we that Gore has really kind of taken a step back?
I mean, I feel like you got to be at least decently concerned. Like, I don't know that it's like panic mode, but you're getting closer because this is a guy that you have to have him be a number two type starter because that's what's really lacking in the organization right now. Like, they've got a bunch of guys in that 3-5 range. They don't necessarily have an ace or really a number two type guy. Gore was supposed to be that dude, and with how the team's been run recently without spending cash, like, those guys cost a lot of money if you want to get one. So
yeah.
Hopefully he can develop and get things going. It's just, I don't know. I mean, the stuff is there, but at some point it's no longer about having the stuff and having the goods. You got to go out there and produce.
One of the things I liked, and a lot of people mocked it, and I get it, it was like an easy internet thing to mock, but how they had those signs during spring training, like, nobody cares how fast you throw a ball for.
Yeah.
Like, they just need to throw strikes, dude. And early in the year when things were going well, even like Trevor Williams, who was not a career, like, pound the zone guy, was pounding the zone. And then Mitchell Parker comes up and throws strikes. And sometimes I feel like these guys get too caught up in their stuff that they forget just to pound the zone and get these guys to swing.
Yeah, and he's
like, it's so hard to get a hit, dude. It's just throw strikes.
Well, and he's funny because, like, I can think of a couple of his last six starts or so where there was one where he spotted a 9-0 lead against the Cardinals and he was doing okay, and then all of a sudden he gets stuck in an inning. And a lot of it's, you know, due to walking guys. And you had one where he was cruising, I think, against the Mets through three innings and he was fine. And then the fourth inning, he just fell apart. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what he's doing in between innings. I don't know what goes on, but yeah, I mean, you're 100% on. Like, you can mock the stupidity of, and I think it's analytics people that are so big into, oh, nobody cares how fast you throw a ball for, but he's basically saying throw strikes, like you were saying, and I don't know how all of a sudden we've got to a point where some people on the analytics side look at throwing strikes as a bad piece of advice, but yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of those guys, it does come down to that.
I agree with you, sir. Here's what we're going to do. Might be our first ever version of Training Camp Real or Fake when we return. Nobody go anywhere.